Imagine a world where cockpits were designed for the average pilot. This was reality in the 1940s when the U.S. Air Force faced a deadly crisis, with pilots crashing at alarming rates. After measuring 4,063 pilots on 10 dimensions, Lieutenant Gilbert S. Daniels made a stunning discovery. Not a single pilot fit within the average range on all dimensions. Not one. The revelation was clear. Designing for the average meant designing for no one. When the Air Force abandoned average-based design and created adjustable cockpits, pilot performance soared. This story reveals the fundamental flaw in how we've structured our society. We've built our educational systems, workplaces, and social institutions around the myth of the average person, a statistical abstraction that literally no one embodies. We rank students against averages, design workplaces for average workers, and judge ourselves against average metrics in everything from intelligence to personality. But what if this entire approach is fundamentally wrong? What if the concept of average is actually preventing us from recognizing and nurturing human potential? The science is clear. Human beings are far too complex, too multidimensional, and too context-dependent to be reduced to simple averages or rankings. Our obsession with averages isn't just limiting, it's actively harmful to individuals and society. In the 1830s, Belgian astronomer Adolphe Quetelet transformed human understanding by analyzing thousands of soldier measurements. He declared the average to be nature's ideal, viewing individual variations as errors and establishing the concept of an idealized average man. Francis Galton, Darwin's cousin, later recast this thinking by replacing error with rank. He viewed average as mediocre and classified humanity into 14 levels, from imbeciles to eminent. Galton argued that a person's rank remained consistent across all qualities, mental, physical, and moral, defining human worth by distance from average. By the early 20th century, averages dominated social science and policy decisions. This marked a fundamental shift. Individuals could only be understood through group comparisons. This mindset became so ingrained that we now instinctively measure ourselves against statistical norms, a system that fails to recognize true human individuality and potential. As Taylorism transformed American industry in the early 1900s, educational reformers implemented standardized approaches, mirroring factories instead of creating humanistic education. Industrialists insisted schools should prepare students for the tailorized economy rather than foster individual greatness. Schools adopted factory-like structures, age-grouped classes, bells for transitions, and standardized curricula. By 1920, most American schools delivered identical education regardless of students' abilities or interests. Psychologist Edward Thorndike viewed education as a sorting system, believing people were born with either fast-learning or slow brains. He developed nationwide standardized tests, age-based textbooks, and entrance exams, establishing concepts like gifted students and educational tracks. For Thorndike, education couldn't change innate abilities, it could only categorize students. This ranking system persists today. Our educational system isn't broken, it fulfills its original design of sorting students into their proper place in society. While standardization increased economic productivity, it sacrificed individuality and human potential. Every significant human characteristic, talent, intelligence, character, creativity, comprises multiple weakly related dimensions. Yet we often reduce these to single metrics like test scores, with harmful results. Gilbert Daniels discovered that when measuring pilots on 10 dimensions, less than 2% were average on 4 or more dimensions, and none on all. Even broadening average to include the middle 90% excluded over half of all people, proving why cockpits designed for the average pilot fit nobody. Mental abilities are particularly jagged. James Cattell found minimal correlation between different cognitive capabilities. Two people with identical 103 IQ scores might have entirely different profiles. One excelling verbally but struggling spatially, the other showing the reverse pattern. A 2004 Google study analyzing over 300 factors for employees' success revealed that SAT scores, university prestige, and programming competition victories had no predictive value. Grades only mattered briefly post-graduation, and no single variable predicted success across roles. Recognizing our jagged nature helps identify hidden potential and leverage strengths while addressing weaknesses, freeing us from average-based thinking. Are you an extrovert or an introvert? This question reflects psychology's long-standing debate between trait theorists, who believe in fixed personality traits, and situationists, who emphasize environmental influences. University of Washington's Yuichi Shoda summer camp study revealed children displayed different personalities across various activities, challenging the notion of consistent dispositions. He proposed if-then signatures to explain personality. Rather than Jack is extroverted, we see patterns like if Jack is at work, then he's extroverted. If with strangers, then less so. Hugh Hartshorne's 1920 study of 10,000 students further confirmed personality's contextual nature. Testing honesty across 29 situations, he found behavior varied significantly. The same child might cheat on a test but remain honest during games. While our personalities feel stable, this stability exists only within specific contexts. Instead of applying fixed labels to negative behaviors, we should consider the situational factors, promoting understanding and stronger relationships. Our society's normative thinking assumes average developmental paths are the only right ones. However, research consistently proves otherwise. Karen Adolph's study of 28 infants revealed 25 different pathways to walking, with nearly half skipping supposedly essential stages like belly crawling. The education system's equation of speed with intelligence ignores natural learning variations. Benjamin Bloom showed that while only 20% mastered material in fixed-pace settings, over 90% succeeded with self-paced tutoring, proving learning pace varies by subject. Kurt Fisher's research identified three distinct pathways to reading. 60% follow standard sequences, 30% learn through different skill orders, and 10% develop reading difficulties. This led to more targeted interventions. Fisher's web of development model shows how each developmental step opens unique possibilities. A European Research Council study later validated this in professional contexts, finding seven distinct pathways to scientific excellence, confirming achievement isn't limited to conventional routes. Costco exemplifies valuing individuality by paying $20 per hour versus retail's $12.20 average. Founder Jim Sinegal made individual development their core philosophy, with over 70% of managers promoted from within. Education requires similar change. Stackable credentials offer flexible learning units instead of standardized diplomas. Competency-based evaluation provides pass-incomplete assessment, institution-agnostic learning, and employer-aligned professional development. The American Dream, conceived by James Truslow Adams during the Great Depression, meant reaching one's fullest potential, not just economic success. Averagearianism later shifted this vision toward relative achievement. The principles of individuality can restore the dream's original meaning. This shift appears in personalized medicine, competency-based education, and context-based hiring. Rejecting average-based systems reveals a truth. There is no normal human development path. We are all jagged, contextual beings, and our institutions must adapt to nurture our full potential.